Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, are we recording?
Oh, yeah. This is how I do it.
Oh, my God.
It's just like, we're just throwing shit at a wall here. Everyone, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. I have a special guest here in the house. I think it's the second time you've been on the B-List before. This is Jess Rothschild with us today, and she's got her own podcast, Hot Takes Deep Dives, which is really great.
Thank you.
We share many interests, and it's always good talking to you. I was just recently
share,
on your podcast.
We do share many interests.
We're like, they overlap.
Yes, you were a few weeks ago.
We have opposing views when it comes to many housewives.
But that's good for discourse.
No, totally. And then, but we come from like a class of housewives fans where we like have nuance discussions, and we can understand that like I dislike this person, but they're good for the show, or they're, you know what I mean?
Yes. I always look at housewives from a producer brain. Like, I'm always like, oh, like, clearly a producer stepped in. Like, as for, I mean, this is so random, but like, literally this week on Jersey, when clearly a producer set the call up with Teresa to be there when Jackie was going to call. It's like, this doesn't just happen like by accident.
Yeah.
It's not.
Especially in COVID when there's like less crew members. I mean, you thought that they just like randomly had crew hanging out at her house all day. Like,
it's produced more than ever. More than ever.
Yeah. But thank God they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
They're working for their money.
By the way,
we're going to get to them.
By the way, B, I have to say, just a day or so off, a little belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I was listening to your birthday episode. And of course, the world wished you happy birthday.
It just dropped, yeah.
While we were talking, and I'm like, I literally didn't say happy birthday to this kid. Like, I love him.
No, it's totally fine.
No, but this now it's proper. Yeah. It's recorded. The world knows how much I love you.
It was just on Saturday. I had a nice birthday. A nice, like, socially distanced. I mean, usually I throw, like, a party every year.
Oh, really?
Which, honestly, is more of a headache than it's worth, really. I mean, I'm just, like, doing ones where, like, they got bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. Where, like, someone that I know would host a party normally at, like, at a bar or a club or something. And then they'd be like, we'd love to throw your party for you.
Oh,
you host it.
Okay.
And I'd put the flyer on Instagram and invite all your friends.
Right.
And even people that, you know, and all the followers as well, which I love, like, shout out to everyone. But like, then it turns into something bigger and bigger. And when it's something like that, I feel like I don't even really get that drunk or that remember that much stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy running around trying to move cards around.
Can we ask, like, does the lady share her age publicly? She doesn't share. She doesn't share.
So weird.
She doesn't tell her age. Okay.
I don't feel weird.
Can I guess your age?
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to guess that you just turned 32.
Thank you. I'll take it.
You'll take it. Okay, all right.
I'll take it, yeah.
I mean, you look 32.
I'm not far off.
Not far off, okay. I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Yeah. And it'll be obvious in our conversation later today what we're planning to talk about.
I'm sure. Yeah. No, I was just saying that, like, I had a smaller birthday this year. I just had, like, three friends. Because, like, honestly, a lot of people were, like, out of town or doing something. So I was really just, like, the people that were close to me and around.
Nearest and dearest.
Yeah. But it was nice this year. It was nice. Honestly, I think going forward, I'll probably do, like, smaller and smaller parties. We'll see. I mean, I'm talking all this shit now. Watch them reopen shit. And I'm, like, swinging from a chandelier. Like, the fucking, you know. We'll see.
Yeah. You should do you know how, like, on Vanderpump Rules and on Summer House, they always would do, like, Christmas in July. You should do your birthday. Because your birthday's in the middle of February. You should do your birthday in Fire Island. Like,
that's what I've already thought about. Yeah, like, before pandemic.
Well,
before
I'm fucking COVID invited because I just invented this and, like, we share a brain. Like, I'm coming.
No, I've thought about this before because it's like, you know, I come alive in the summertime, although I'm a winter baby. But it's like, I've always been like, damn, I always wanted a pool party for a birthday. And I thought, like, damn, I should have one in July or something. But yeah, one of these days. I'm sure I won't be the only gay that thought of this. Happy National Margarita Day.
Oh, happy.
Yeah, I think it's today, right? I think it's today.
Salud. I love Mexico.
Which, by the way, I want to shout out to Alice Bell, who's the astrologer that did my my birth chart. She was excellent. Just so everyone knows, I had not spoken to this girl ever. She just came to me, like, referred recommended to me, and I just reached out to her, and she was so gracious. Immediately was like, yes, I'd love to, and came on, did my full birth chart, and she doesn't know anything about me, mm-hmm. and got all this stuff correct. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, astrology, I love astrology. I've been like kind of studying it, you know, like reading books. Like there's an astrology book that I have right here called The Only Astrology Book You'll Ever Need. And that's a great one. My best friend from college, actually the one who I was referring to when we were talking about the Whitney interview.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's who I was referring to. My best friend, Andy, he is an astrologer. And when you, when you opened your DMs up for like, does anybody know any astrologers? I put mm-hmm. his name in there. And I have him on my podcast a lot, and I have him do all the house. Like, he's going to come on soon and do all the New Jersey.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So, and I have him do the, like the composite charts, where it's like, suppose you were in a relationship, you and your partner, except I'm going to have him do like Teresa and Jackie.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. See, yeah.
I have him do all that. Yeah.
I used to have that birthday book. I think it's Susan Miller. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. You know, when you can match at people's birthdays and tell the relationship, I always thought that was pretty spot on too. She's good.
Yep. Oh, Susan Miller is huge.
She's like the queen of.
She's
the Teresa Giudice of the astrology world.
All right. I got more problems with Teresa than ever. So.
Yeah, we're going to go through that. We'll get through it. What did you think of the housewives that I chose for her to do the birth chart for? Did you hear that
part?
Oh,
yeah, you did Rinna. Because
I picked some.
Who did you have? Yeah, I heard the Rinna part. Who else did you have
her do? I picked some random ones. And these aren't even favorites of mine, by the way. I just thought it would be interesting because I didn't want to pick people that would be, you would expect me to. So I don't love Kenya Moore. I mean, I appreciate what she does for the show and stuff like that. But I think she is kind of an enigma to me. Just the way she lives in like this. Like, she, like, gets joy out of being antagonistic to people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she, like, I just can't.
In my own defense, let me explain why I didn't. So, I was listening to that episode. Yesterday, I was driving. I was visiting my best friend, my lifelong best friend, Michael. I was visiting him and his husband and their son in Jersey. So, I was listening to it on my drive back to the city. And I got to my apartment as soon as you brought in Jonathan. Like, I heard the bit with Jonathan. Okay. And I think you do the stuff with Rinna and the other birth charts, like, later. It's like, I didn't quite get to that part yet. Because I got home.
Yeah,
that was fine. My problem. But
it's fine. It's fine. The people were Kenya Moore, Lisa Rinna, Mary Cosby, and
that's a great one.
Last one, Sonia Morgan.
I approve.
Yeah, she was really spot on, especially with Kenya and Mary Cosby, and a bit with Sonia as well. So
I think it's interesting that you're a double Gemini. You're a Gemini rising and moon, right? She said you're Pisces, Gemini.
Yeah. Mm. Uh-huh. It was weird.
Interesting.
I don't know what to think about. I'm learning.
Well, I guess you do present as a Gemini because you are very communicative, talkative, but then also.
Aren't they two-faced though? Isn't that the thing? Aren't they?
Wow. But also
duality.
They're the twins. They're the twins. Yes, it's duality. So you clearly have this extroverted side of you. And yet I know you, I feel like I know you so well because I do listen to the podcast a lot. And I know that you're an indoor gay. I know that you're like, you hate people. You don't like going to concerts. You want smaller groups. So meanwhile, you used to host events at the Moxie Hotel. So you're a Gemini, baby. It's true.
Okay.
The rumors are true about you.
Are there four housewives that you would like love to see? Like, I know you're doing like New Jersey all at once, but if you could just only pick like four from any franchises.
Okay. I'll tell you.
Who would you like just be most interested to see their birth charts?
Bethany, Erica Jane. This is like today in 2021, February 2021. This is to me is who's the most interesting. Bethany, Erica Jane. Still probably, you know what? Maybe like Karen Huger or Ashley Darby.
Okay. Yeah, Ashley Darby would be really interesting because what makes you stay? What makes you stay?
There's something, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, my friend did a whole Potomac episode, and I know I asked him that question. Like, the question, it's been asked and answered, but I forgot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe also, like, Dorinda. I mean, the New York women are just so inherently interesting.
I was going to do Dorinda.
They're so inherently interesting.
unpopular opinion probably in 2021, but I think Dorinda is the most interesting Real Housewife of New York. That's really a shame that they really took her out when they did. Because, you know, but they're going to, my thought is they'll bring her back at some point and give her like her, because that's the reason that they took her out at that point. They weren't like, oh, fuck, we hate this woman. They were like, we need to take you out now so that you still have some like semblance of likability so that we can bring you back and people will like welcome you with open arms.
It's kind of like, you know, in the old, okay, this example. So there's a thing that when your car runs out of gas, if you open the gas tank and let it air out, you can still get a few more miles.
Oh,
if you don't have money to like get gas, it's kind of like that. They had to like open the tank and like let it air out to make sure she can like get they can get a few more miles out of her.
Okay. I like that. It sounds kind of like you're like a car.
The only reason I know this is because my partner's mother used to do this to them as kids. She wouldn't refill the gas tank. She would like let it and then like it would just go on empty. What? It's a long story.
Speaking of astrology, Pisces season is off to a chaotic start. Azealia Banks just announced she's engaged via Instagram. Someone named, what's his fucking name? Rip Ryder? I don't even fucking know. Rip Ryder? Something
this
like that.
This is the fiance.
He's a conceptual artist. Here's some tea. Someone showed up in my DMs saying that they knew him. Oh. I can't say who. Oh. I sound like Teresa.
I can't say who. I don't remember. Somebody told me. A gay told me, but I don't remember who. He was doing my makeup.
Was it a gay, but...
He was doing my makeup and my hair, and then he told me he saw Evan doing stuff at the gym. But I don't know who.
Doing stuff at the gym.
That's literally how this happened. Or she made it up. Yeah. But we'll get there.
No, they showed up in my DMs, and they said that they know him. I'm not going to say how, but they said that this all seems like a big ploy to get more publicity. This is something that he's very interested in doing. Is like, the you know, people like her, they love to garner this kind of attention by like just this chaotic process, right? It's like they just like live in this space where it's just like, I can do this now, I haven't done this yet, and this will get, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I don't believe it. Not that it matters. She'll probably get married anyways and get fucking divorced. Or
I don't know anything about Azealia Banks.
That's good.
I mean,
live in that space. Okay, live in that joy.
I got. I've taken enough.
Don't block your blessings.
Like I've taken on. Since you and I had like since the last time I was on the show, I spent a really healthy part of quarantine getting into Drag Race. So
okay,
with Housewives and Drag Race, I feel like I'm at my limit. It's not like I can't really take on. I don't have the bandwidth for like The Bachelor. Like that's never gonna happen for me.
That's not gonna happen.
No.
No. We could have another actual lockdown with no work and I still wouldn't. You know what I mean?
No.
Like you could like have a lockdown and take work away and I still wouldn't have enough time in my day.
I'm not even all the way through with Drag Race. There's so much. It's like Housewives. It's like starting from, you know.
But not as good. Oh my God. Let me take that back. Jane. Because they're going to drag me over this. Leave it in. Fuck it. I don't care. The gays are going to fucking be mad at me. I have my opinions. It's just, it's not as good as Housewives.
How can you compare a competition show to a reality docu-series?
There is no competition. So.
Oh, is that your take?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Oh, I'm just saying there's no competition. It's just like, there's no competition between the two. You can't.
Okay.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh died.
I know.
Aw.
Did she?
All right.
Okay.
Aw. He passed away? Aw. Mm.
Okay,
all
well.
All right. You know what I've been listening to a lot of is, damn you, Tracy. Tracy was talking to me on the recap. We have the recap weekly where we recap Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of Dallas, and currently Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for one more episode because they're on their last reunion. And randomly, I don't even know how it got on the topic, but she started talking about Candlebox. She said they have one of the best stripper songs ever, Far Behind. And I put it on. I was like, oh my God, I love this fucking song. I haven't heard it since I was like a kid. But I was just like, I don't know. That's all I've been listening to lately is alternative music ever since then. I mean, I have an alternative playlist that I made on for my Alexa. I'm whispering Alexa because I don't want her to hear me because then she's going to start playing
stuff.
You
know, you can change the name
You can change the name?
You can change the name of your Alexa to like Amazon. You can change it to different. I mean, you can't change it to like B, but like you could change it.
Change it to like Dorit?
No, not Dorit or Teresa. But you can change it to like, there's like a selection. And Amazon is one of them. Yeah, imagine you change it. Yo tree, dim the lights.
Gotcha. No, so I've been like only listening to like, you know, it's just like such a fun moment in my life was alternative music and just like Empire Records, Cranberries, all of that.
Yes.
The Cranberries.
I love all that.
Do you have like
stuff.
A favorite alternative band?
Ooh. I would say, okay, I loved, tell me if this falls into alternative. I loved
Alternative was like probably like the biggest umbrella though, because it included grunge. It included like,
well, then I guess I'd have to say Nirvana. I loved Nirvana. I loved, like, what's Counting Crows?
That's definitely, that's like the king of alternative, okay, right? Because well, it's like I not loved, really, yeah.
I loved,
okay.
Yeah, I loved Counting Crows. I loved Dave Matthews. That's like jam bandy, but when I heard alternative, I did love the Cranberries. I loved the band Everything But the Girl, which is probably...
Oh, love them.
Are they alternative?
They're not really alternative.
Like dream,
they were like
pop, indie.
They had like some kind of like soft... I almost want to... It's not like... Almost folky, their early stuff. And then they hooked up with Todd Terry, right? And then they started doing the remixes, and that's when they really got on. And the gays found them.
Totally. So good.
Did you know that the Real World New York is reuniting?
Oh, I know.
Speaking of,
I'm all over
Tracy's
it.
So hype right now. I'm sure I saw her Instagram post. I haven't talked to her in person about this, but yeah.
Now, explain the situation. Is this just a reunion and they're going to talk about it?
It seems like they're moving back in. I think they're moving back in and like filming. I cannot imagine.
That's 25, crazy.
25 years later and you were 20 at the time, they're like pushing fucking 50. I would be like, you want me to move back in with these people that I lived with in my early 20s?
Wow.
What if they move back into the loft, the actual one? It was like above Dean and DeLuca.
I thought that's what, well, I'm sure it's not a loft. I'm sure it's now a condo.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Definitely chopped it up.
But I'm interested.
But knowing New York real estate, it's probably empty right now.
That's true.
It's probably sitting empty.
Yes, that's very exciting news.
Yeah. If there's one cast of the Real World... That you would, because that's not my first one, right? I mean, I watch it. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. Paramount, by the way, Paramount Plus, the network or whatever. It's the same network that made my life story into a made-for-TV movie. What is it called? Fuck, I'm forgetting the name. I already fucking forget the name. But they took my cowboy story.
Oh, my God.
You remember this story?
Yes. This is, yes.
And then they sent me a gift box with a wink, and I was like, y'all... Yeah, I was ridiculous. Like shaking. I was like, but I was like, y'all tune in 8 p.m., 9 central.
So you're asking which Real World would I want them to redo? So you're asking what's my favorite seasons?
Yeah, which one would you? Because I heard that Hawaii was actually one of the first ones they asked, because that was actually a really popular one, I guess. I think it's like one that bridged over.
Why didn't they do Hawaii?
I think you just want to get all the willing participants. Wow. You have to have everyone that's willing to do it.
Okay.
But.
I love New Orleans with Danny Roberts, Melissa Beck, your friend, who's a regular on this show.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great one.
That was a great cast. I really love Real World Boston with Genesis, Camila.
Also a friend of mine, Camila. Shout out to
Camila. Was on my show. She was amazing.
That's right. I think I listened to that episode.
Yes.
Shout out to Camila.
Camila Phillips is now, for you Real World fans out there, she is now an OBGYN in New York City. And she revealed on the podcast that she was asked to audition or asked to submit a thing for Married to Medicine. And her husband won a letter. T, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, and she also, and she also said, listen to that episode. She also said that she has had at least one of the Roni women as a patient.
Oh, okay. But she can't say who. Talk to doctor.
No, she can't.
Client confidentiality.
Yeah, but like, for some reason, I think it's Sonia Luan.
What a ride that would
be. What a ride. Yeah, she's like, they're all very interesting.
There's some mileage on this one. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. She's like, I've seen it all. Mm-hmm. I love Camila. She basically, those women like Melissa and Camilla like raised me. You know what I mean? Because like Same. Television was my companion. Like I was an only child. I spent tons of time watching television. I would just draw and sit in front of the television and I would watch these reality shows.
Same.
At the time, they weren't called reality shows. They were just called documentaries.
Yeah. Say, I'm an only child as well. So yeah, I have similar experience.
And they were like brown women that were like very opinionated. Took no bullshit. When Camilla walked in and Cyrus was trying to flirt with her, she's like, please get away from me. You are very dirty. And I was just like, who is this like bossy woman? I hate the term bossy because it's only ever used in the context of a woman. So I kind of hate that. But like, it's the best way to like.
She had an attitude. She came in
and like put her attitude-y and like.
Oh, was and very, her, like, she had the list of like.
Of stuff she wanted in a man.
It was like 24 things that you need to be to date Camilla. And I made, and in the thing, I like read back a few of them.
So, but like, that's what I loved. I was like, I don't even know, like 8 years old and be like, that is a strong black woman. I like, I love her.
One of the things on her list, one of the things on the list you had to be to date Camilla, your name had to be more than one syllable.
That's fair. Yeah. I've only gotten in trouble when I date one syllable guys. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear more about this situationship you're in.
From my, it's in the works. Okay. But distance is kind of an issue, so.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that to be brought up during the birth chart reading, and I was like, oh, I.
Of course, relationships are gonna come up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we are. I'm like Wendy. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
What else? Who else? What's on the list, B?
On what list?
Your list. This show is called The B List.
So wait, I was going to say, because we were talking about alternative music, and literally right before we got back on, I was looking up Airwalk shoes, because I'm going to buy some. Those were my favorite fucking shoes, and they still look cute, and they're only like $30 on payless.com.
Oh my God.
It's crazy, but they make sense. I mean, it makes sense that they're $30. They're like the cheapest shoes ever, but so fucking cute, and I'm going to bring those back. Airwalks.
Do it. Wear those to your party in Fire Island for your birthday in July.
It's true. Those are the Speedo. Today, Meghan McCain made an ass of herself again, because it wouldn't be a day of the week if Meghan McCain didn't do that. Did you see this?
What happened?
She was on The View, the only place that she like lives where we have to hear about her. She said, and they were in conversation about Dr. Fauci and just what the COVID's looking like and the COVID situation. And I guess Dr. Fauci went on CNN and was saying that we're probably going to be wearing masks until 2022, which like, hello, duh. Yeah. Anybody with a brain knows that just because you get vaccinated, we'll probably still be wearing masks and things won't be fully open. The true Karen that she is, she said in quote, "The fact that I, Meghan McCain, co-host of The View, don't know when or how I will be able to get a vaccine is just crazy." End quote.
Was so fucking entitled.
Co-host of The View.
So entitled.
I didn't know the comorbidity was like of. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. We're all waiting for the same one. And I don't understand what makes you anymore. Like, you're working from home. You have like your Zoom call.
That's like when we talk. That's like on the episode we did together on my show. We talked about Stacey Griffiths, the SoulCycle instructor who jumped the line on Staten Island to get it.
Yeah. It's insane. Megan, you can wait, really.
Yeah.
She thinks she's like the daytime Erica Jane, though, because she keeps doing these like side braids and updos, and every time you see her, she like look. You know what I'm saying? She looks like one of those where you don't go to the black hair salon, but like when you go to the black hair salon and they have.
Can we talk? You know what? No, it's not appropriate. Forget it.
Well, you know, in the black, like the at least at the barbershop, they have the poster board.
I only trust black women with my hair. My hair, you can see my hair.
Or the Puerto Rican girls, you can go to the sala.
I have my hair is not white people's hair.
Yeah, yeah,
that's, you got like, but that's curly. Basically it. And no, I've never
You're
met.
Jewish, right?
I'm Jewish, and I've never met a white person that understood how to style my hair or cut my hair. They kind of they think they do, but they really don't. But then when I am in the hands of a Puerto Rican woman or a black woman, just anybody who is not white, they know what they're doing.
Well, Andrew Yang said it best, and it's the one thing that I will actually quote him saying. Mm-hmm. those closest to the situation usually know what's best for it.
Yes.
I don't think that was the exact quote, but it was something along those lines. And it's the smartest thing he ever fucking said.
I get so anxious.
It's like the most simplest thing.
I get so anxious when a white chick is coming toward me. I'm like, no.
With Sears.
Yeah. Or just with like to style, even at like Dry Bar, even something, whatever. This is boring.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm being very honest though.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No, but I was saying like the poster board, you know, the poster board at like the barbershop, and they have like literally 50 rows of different black men with all the different the haircuts.
Yeah.
That's what Meghan McCain looks like, except not black, but like every different hairstyle. And it's like every day of the week because she's getting all these different dues.
Yeah, she's like dirt. She thinks she's Dorit.
Are you going to watch Alan versus Pharaoh?
Yes.
I really want to.
I want I to watch
just,
that.
Did it just air? Didn't it just come out?
I think it just premiered. Or it's premiering this week.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's either out or it's coming out this week, and I absolutely want to watch it.
We're eating this week. We're eating this month. There's so much stuff.
We're getting fat.
Yeah.
And it feels real, real good.
Speaking of, so we were talking about It's a Sin, and wow. I mean, I knew it was going to be good. You didn't even have to tell me. Like, I knew the fact that it's named after a Pet Shop Boys song, obviously, first off.
It is a Pet Shop Boys song.
Which, can I say, by the way, it's like my least favorite Pet Shop Boys song. But it's still good. But it's still good. But, like, they make all good songs. But, yeah, it's such a clever title for the concept because... Just to give everyone a preface, I mean, I've already talked about it a ton on my story, a ton on the last podcast a bit with Jonathan, but he didn't watch it yet. It basically revolves around a group of young gay people, or just queer, in London in the early 1980s at the onset of the AIDS epidemic. And it's all about misinformation, homophobic viewpoints from, you know, medical professionals. And just like how that informed people at the time and also how it like, you know, also disadvantaged them and the lives that it took and just people's lives being stamped out so early in life.
And every
it's a miniseries.
Yeah.
It's time jumps. I don't want to give too much away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It time jumps. And it's only 5 episodes. So this is like easy. I wouldn't say it's easy viewing. It's gut wrenching. Like...
I watched it in one sitting.
You did? See, I had to take a break after I watched episodes 2 and 3 in the same night. And after three, I had to take a break for like a day. And then I continued.
I watched 1 and 1/2 of 2. It was the night before my birthday. And I ordered pizza because I was like, usually I'm like, meal prep diet of trying, and then I was like, it's my birthday, whatever. So I ordered pizza and drank some wine and was like watching it and fell asleep, and the pizza was sitting next to me. I was like, oh, I watched 1.5 episodes. I woke up at like 3 a.m and I was like, I can't go back to sleep. I've been having trouble sleeping and stuff like that. So I just stayed up at 3 a.m and watched all the rest of it, and I was like up at 6 a.m in the morning sobbing, crying when I finished it, because I just had to finish it. It's just that engrossing.
Here's what was thrilling about it. I have never seen this story on TV, and I can't believe I haven't. Like, Pose doesn't
Pose.
It doesn't hit the same way this did. I think because
Pose hits on like a broader,
well,
this was more specific.
Yeah, Pose is voyeuristic. Like, that is not our life. That is not, like, how we came up in the world, in, like, the ball scene. I mean, people like you and I, it's just not, we're not dancers. Like, we're not, it's not. But I think specifically because it's about, HIV and AIDS, and we're watching it during a pandemic that's affecting the entire world.
Yeah.
It's having this effect that I think is probably even greater than the creators intended.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's very poignant just because like of what we're going through at the moment. And it reminds you a lot about the early days of the pandemic when it was just so like much misinformation and just, you know. Did you know that Jill Baxter is based on an actual person?
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, I believe that she's the only person in the miniseries that's actually based on a real person.
Oh, and
it's
wow.
based on Russell T. Davies, the creator. Yeah. It's based on his childhood friend named Jill Nalder.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she took care of us. So the story is really, because usually women in these stories sometimes end up being like supporting actress or something, just kind of fading into the background a bit. But this was really, honestly, so much about it seen through her eyes, mm-hmm. because she was the first one to really like catch on to what was going on in the community.
And to take it seriously.
And it was done so like artfully and just so well done. I hope this wins all the awards.
I think it hits so hard because these are the people who would have still been at Stonewall.
Yeah.
They would be there drinking. They would have been at Cubbyhole still hanging out. But they're not, because they died. And so it's so emotional for me to even... It's so emotional, first of all, for me to even say that. Because it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, they would have been there, and they're not. And it's all... My other experience watching it, it was also like... almost like holding up a mirror to that group of friends, or to my group of friends that I, you know, grew up with, you know, my high school best friend, actually the guy I was visiting yesterday, Michael, you know, we met in fifth grade, and all of my friends growing up, you know, in high school, we were all gay, but we weren't out to each other really. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't really come out until like freshman year of college. But even though we didn't come out in the 80s, we came out more in like the year 2000, 2001.
It doesn't matter, because you still grew up with that fear of
it's that
HIV and just like the, and the shame.
Yes.
Because that's...
The story is still the same. The story of feeling the shame, hiding it from the parents. I think that that's still... Listen, I don't know what it's like to... I don't know what it's like to come out in 2021, but at least when I did it in the year 2000, 2001, it was this exact story. And even the story of, I'm going to generalize this because I'm not going to spoil anything. So generally speaking, tell me if you can relate to this. The idea of behaving recklessly just for the sake of it, feeling like you were, or feeling like you were going to get HIV anyway, so let's just get it over with. Like,
people had like a lower like sense of self-worth just because what society told you.
Yes. Yeah. Like, my best friend, Michael, he had this exact experience. And he recounted this story to me when we were basically like sort of stumbling through coming out to each other over a period of months. And to see that, you know, to see a mirror held back and that played back in this, I had never seen that story told on TV. Mm-hmm.
So well. I mean, to say that this miniseries is just about the AIDS crisis is to it's to do it a disservice. It's not really so much about that as it is about shame in general and how it's pervasive in like so many different areas of people's lives. I mean, it wasn't just about like HIV with Roscoe, for instance, who was the Nigerian guy who like left his family after they tried to pray away his homosexuality. He was one of my favorite characters of the
Me
thing.
Too.
Honestly, like, the one critique I will have is that he was underused.
Yes.
And like his storyline was the least developed. And I think that, but he did have the best like aha moments when he would break free from these.
Yeah, he had an amazing, screen presence. And whenever he was on screen, I couldn't take my eyes off him.
Yes. And he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Great actor. But he, I was going to say, for him, it wasn't so much about like the AIDS crisis or the HIV stuff. It was really about shame because he, well, without giving too much away, he gets involved with this like politician who's closeted and stuff like that. And he was kind of pushed back into the closet in a way. So it's just like, it's about shame.
Did you watch Queer as Folk?
I did. I didn't watch so much the original, but one day, I was also walking on the street years ago when I first moved to New York and people still use DVDs. Mm-hmm. I'm just aging myself. People still had DVD players. I mean,
be proud of that. I had VHS tapes. Come on.
I bought a DVD player, a little like tiny one for like $30 on Amazon. Cause I have all these DVDs from when I was a kid and I'm like, I'm not throwing all these out. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have like Romy Michelle, Meryl's Wedding. Like, I'm not throwing these out. I'm not buying these again. I'm like my mom.
Are you going to buy a cassette player too?
I know. Mom is like, these are perfectly good VHSs. I'm not throwing these away.
I still have my cassette tape of Madonna Bedtime Stories. I have it on my little bookcase there. Yeah. I mean, now it's just
to find a frame it.
Now it's just art, but.
Frame it, yeah.
Yeah, it's still music.
There's some really good accounts, by the way, that I follow on Instagram that are called like VHS Collection and stuff like that. And they collect like vintage and just like, and then there's, this is totally a tangent, but one guy, because I'm obsessed with 80s movies from the 70s, 80s horror movies from the, horror movies from the 70s and 80s.
Got it.
And he like, but then he'll take like a new horror movie and then like put it, like make artwork for it and put it on a VHS. Like what the new It would have looked like if it was on. It's interesting. Clever. I'll send it to you after. He does it in a really artful way. And mm-hmm. if you can appreciate 80s aesthetics with like new.
Of course.
But before I was saying, what was I saying?
We were talking
about DVD
player. Queer as Folk. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was walking on the street and I came across like in the trash. And I was like, I was walking and I was like, oh my God, there's an entire box set of Queer as Folk. Like,
when was this?
Like early 2000s. I mean, it was like, when did I move
to
New York?
Oh, okay. I thought this was like last week.
No.
Okay. Got it.
It was a long time ago. It was like probably like 2007 or something like that. Okay. A long time ago. And it was like, it was a box set of the entire collection of
winning the lottery.
Like a big, I was like, and I looked, I was like, there can't be inside. And I opened it up and it was just all the DVDs. I was like, yoink. The American version. Great
show.
Yeah,
I brought up Queer as Folk because the creator of It's a Sin is the original UK, the guy who created the UK version, which is the original Queer as Folk.
Yeah. The American one was me.
I was obsessed with the American one.
I'm obsessed. It's trash. It's like, it's the same way that I'm like, oh, Coyote Ugly is It, but it's also like trash. You know what I mean? It's like trash, but it's like fucking It.
Who were you into on Queer as Folk?
See, that's the other thing is I can't recognize anyone on the show that I like really relate to fully. I'd say probably the most would be Hal, the main
guy,
the comic
book. Yeah.
Or is it Michael? Yeah.
Well, his character, Hal Sparks played Michael.
Hal Sparks, right.
Was in love with Brian Kinney, the lead guy.
I mean, he's
guy.
Beautiful. Yeah, he's beautiful.
No, I like wanted to be him. Like I wanted his car. I wanted his clothes.
His Jeep.
I wanted his Jeep. I wanted his loft. With the glass loft, shower in the middle of it.
It took place in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
You probably could with our budgets. You could, like, on a New York budget, we could be balling, like, Brian Kinney in Pittsburgh. Are you kidding? I don't know what I'm living in New York for. On this budget, I could be, like, I could have a car.
I was obsessed. Oh, I wanted his job.
I could have a car now. I just don't want to deal with fucking alternate street side parking.
Mm. Look at you. Don't brag.
So, It's a Sin. Amazing show.
Go ahead, and then I wanted to say something about the vaccine.
So evil, but such a great performance. The duality of like seeing her as like a doting mother, and then how quickly she churned was like, it was so good. That last episode.
What was it like, when you, like when? How old were you when you came out?
I was 18. Yeah.
Oh, so you were like fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
And I know you went to went to a performing arts art school.
Mm-hmm. So there were like a few gay people there, but.
And what was your experience like? Like even with your
coming out?
Yeah, like with your mom and your friends. Like, what was how did you feel?
Totally fine, because I went to an art college after that. So it was like,
yeah, you went to gay high school and gay college.
So straight the pipeline, the queer to queer pipeline. No, my mom actually asked me, she said, I was like seeing a guy and I was always with him. And she just like, but I presented him as my friend. And she asked me in the car one day when I came home during a vacation, and she was like, are you gay? And I was like, yep.
Wow.
And she was like, well, as long as you're happy. And that was that, you know, she knew.
Wow.
It was really pretty simple. You'd have to not know. And I'm really blessed to have like a really understanding mother. My mother also has like gay friends, but it's just like more like she was waiting for my.
Like, was there ever a period of time when you were like actively hiding it? Like seeking out gay media, but like, but in secret.
Yeah. 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 Like my entire.
Yeah, like all of the real world and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. You know, in a lot of ways, I am super grateful, super happy that we had that experience. I don't think I would want it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much easier now.
It makes you appreciate things now.
This is why we are the way we are. Like, you have to go through. Yeah, you have to go through. I think it's really healthy to go through
struggle. What do people say? Builds character.
You know, like
these coming out, like, don't you appreciate the gay movies when we were coming up? Like, you know, movies like A Beautiful Thing or Edge of 17 or just like any of those like,
do you know how many
late
90s,
early
shitty lesbian 2000s. Movies there are? How many bad lesbian movies there are?
But, like, but how much you love them?
We loved
but
them.
I'm a cheerleader.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's but it's amazing. Like, but you appreciate them so much more because you had to, like, sneak to find them and they were so special to you and you'll always have a place in your heart. Even if they, like, you know, someone would, like, give it, like, 3 stars out of 10, yeah. It's to you, it's 10.
Well, But I'm a Cheerleader is a goddamn classic. So no one's given that 3 stars. But
like, Trick is, like, you know, I mean, Trick is trash, but I'll watch it and I'm like, you know, but to me it's like a 12 with out of 10 stars. You know what I mean?
Like, everything but, John Cameron Mitchell was doing, like Short Bus, remember that? It was like an improv porn.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
I appreciate these films.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys have to see It's a Sin. It's so spectacular. I honestly, when I was finished, I had more free time and I went back and rewatched the first episode and a half before it gets dark. Because I was like, I felt like I wasn't totally paying attention and I wanted to get like every part because the soundtrack is so great. Yeah. Every single minute of it is so, but I cut it off before it got too, you know?
Yeah.
Some heartbreaking moments. My favorite character is Colin.
Oh, my God. I can't. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to, like.
Colin is just, like, my favorite. I think about him daily now. It's kind of crazy.
That was the rug was pulled out from under us.
Yeah.
Watching that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, there's one character. You see him code in New York. He gets, like, on a work trip. He gets to come to New York. And, like, he's so wide-eyed and innocent. Yeah. And. You know,
don't give it away.
What, I know. In watching the show, it also, it kind of makes me value. I mean, you know, I love Madonna, but it, and I've studied Madonna like my entire life. I've like dedicated my entire life to loving this woman and everything she's done. But it made me value what she did in the late 80s even more so than ever. Yeah.
Like, with her release of Like a Prayer album, she put condoms and then also condom pamphlets.
Yes.
Like how to properly use them, right? And then like information about AIDS when nobody else was doing it because the government refused to do it. So she would include the pamphlets about AIDS in her album artwork.
Exactly.
Which was like unheard of at the time. She was the only person to do that. And people forget about this stuff.
I mean, she wrote songs like on the Erotica album. Like, she was writing songs about losing friends to AIDS and then going on tour and performing them live. Like, the song, there's a deep cut called In This Life on Erotica. And she sings it live in the Girly Show. And the live version is fantastic. That's people literally about losing one of her best friends.
Probably like AIDS. The most like popular song I think about like that topic would probably be Together Again by Janet Jackson. That's what the one people always recognize as being but Janet was like definitely an ally, but Madonna was the first person to really be vocal about, you know, something that was not really widespread in the media. So before we get off of It's a Sin, I have to tell you an interesting tidbit that I think will surprise you. Since Jill Baxter was based on a real person, Jill Nalder was in It's a Sin.
Who?
She plays Jill's mom with the bangs.
Oh my, whoa.
I know.
Wow.
I know. She's in it several
times.
That's
amazing.
Too. I know. I love it. Wow. I love it. It's full circle. So we're talking about Madonna, and that's actually the next topic I wanted to kind of discuss with you.
Oh, wow.
Just check in about the Madonna biopic.
Let's check in.
I don't know if you know this stuff. I mean, you know more than I do, but I'm just, you know, Madonna biopic is like it's what I want to see in life.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna had an Instagram live session. It was a while ago. And she revealed extensive details about the film's plot. She's writing this screenplay with Diablo
Cody. She's directing the movie of her life, which is probably the worst idea she's ever had.
I know.
I'm very nervous. I'm very scared.
I know.
So here we are.
I'll still see it.
But Warner Brothers is behind it. So it's going to be like It's gonna be music it's label. Gonna be on the level or Universal Universal I believe is behind it, so it's gonna be on the level of like a Bohemian Rhapsody or a Rocket Man. It is gonna be that widely. That's gonna be the money.
Hopefully it'll be better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I didn't hate that.
I didn't hate it, but I thought Rocket Man was better.
Rocket Man was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said that the film's plot, describing it as a focus on about my struggles as an artist trying to survive in a man's world as a woman, and really just the journey, in which she describes as a happy, sad, mad, crazy, good, bad, and ugly tale of the making of a superstar. She said, in quote, "We do talk about Andy Warhol and Keith Haring and Jean-Michel Basquiat, and the whole coming up as an artist in Manhattan, downtown Lower East Side in the early 80s. Honestly, it's one of the best times in my life and one of the worst times. I hope I can, I hope I can portray or express what a thrilling time that was for me in every way."
Love it.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting angle to take. It's like her struggle as an artist trying to survive in a man's world, because that is her story. That is like 100%. I mean, whenever you see like growing up in like the 90s, you would see like murals and stuff and like cartoons drawn of like pop culture. Right? Like, because paparazzi didn't exist, right? Like, if you saw stuff, it was always like cartoon caricatures of Cher, or it was like Michael Jackson. And then they would do these like Michael Jackson with Madonna and
the Hulk. Yes, yeah.
And you know what I mean? But like, it was always like Madonna was the one woman in every single, it was like her with her mole, and then Michael Jackson and Prince and whoever else. You know what I mean? She was living literally in a man's. Yeah, in a male-dominated pop world.
It is my hope. It's my wish would be, my wish fulfillment would be, I want it to, because for sure it is going through Blonde Ambition Tour. And then, I believe she had, when she was talking about writing the script, I think there was stuff in there about Ray of Light. So if it if it ends with the birth of Lola, that would be the absolute perfect
ending. Yeah, because I think that's what she... Yeah, for me.
Coming full, absolute full circle.
Because she has the mom stuff.
Yeah. So. That would make the most sense. It's a wide scope, though. I don't know how they're going to get that in 2 hours. Like, well, there's much.
It's going to be included because here, set to feature scenes about the creations of some of Madonna's most memorable works, including a great scene of her writing Like a Prayer with Pat Leonard.
Yes.
All the way to the end, all the way to the devastating experience with Pepsi. Which is, you know, if anyone doesn't remember or know, I don't remember because I was so fucking young, but knowing everything fucking about Madonna, she had like a really, what was it, like $5 million? How much was it?
She had a huge endorsement deal to do this commercial for Pepsi and...
Like a Prayer.
I think it was the Like a Prayer video in which she was seen dancing in front of burning crosses, she lost the deal.
Yeah, they never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
Saw the light of day on my Instagram. I post it all the time. I love that fucking clip. I love that commercial.
Oh my God. It's amazing. It saw the light of day on my Instagram.
There's also a new doc coming out to Netflix of Madonna. I think it's supposed to cover the Madam X tour.
Oh,
I won't
yes,
be watching. Yeah. I don't really care about that, but.
All right. Slow your roll down. Hold on a second. Okay. This isn't a documentary. This is the concert film tour of the Madam X tour.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, a tour doc.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, the Confessions tour. It's, you know, like all the performance. They film the show and she's editing it together.
Okay.
Which is what she documents a lot now on her stories. And it's like, are you going to do this or what? Because if we're ever going to make this movie, this first thing has to be done. Like, TikTok.
Let's space it out. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Madonna album? We talked about this. Oh, wait, I think I remember yours.
Mentioned it earlier in this episode. The cassette tape I have is one of them.
Wait.
I just said the
Bedtime
name
Stories?
Of it. Yeah.
Wait. Bedtime Stories.
Bedtime Stories and Erotica are my two favorites. I would venture to say. Yes.
I think Like a Prayer and Ray of Light are my two favorites.
Beautiful choices.
I love Like a Prayer.
Do you love the song Love Song?
Yeah.
With Prince.
Yeah.
I think it may be her most under listened or like under appreciated. I just did a whole episode like about like the deep cuts and the underappreciated stuff. I think Love Song, even though it features Prince, never performed live. You never heard from it again after Like a Prayer.
Such a great album.
But if anybody out there is not...
But honestly, I like every Madonna album. Like True Blues, It as well. There's some fucking great cuts on Like a Virgin. I love Angel.
Stay. Justice for Stay. The final track on Like a Virgin.
Justice for Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
What else? Tell me more.
Oh my God. Every album. I mean, Bedtime Stories is a great album because you know what? My mom used to listen to that. She would be in the car dropping me off at school and we'd be listening to like Sanctuary and I'd be like, this is it.
Obsessed.
Yeah. When Madonna was working with Babyface, it was like genius.
The best. Survival.
Yeah. That whole album.
That whole album.
Page Six just did a story on... So we switch gears, but also an Italian woman who's like controversy swirls around her, especially lately. Page Six did a story on Teresa Giudice.
I was gonna say Gaga.
wait, I just had a thought. Like, wait, they filmed the Halloween party at Margaret's for the season finale of this season. And Teresa was like a cotton candy. What was she, like a character from Candyland?
Something like that, yeah.
She should have been Madonna. Teresa would be the perfect Madonna.
I don't know about that.
You don't know?
Madonna's a brilliant woman.
I feel like Teresa would definitely be like a virgin. I feel like she would do that with like full.
Yeah, she can do that.
Yeah.
maybe True Blue.
I would love to see the whole cast of Real Housewives of New Jersey be every era of Madonna.
Oh, I like that. You know who loves Madonna?
Margaret would be hanky panky.
Yes. Like, oh, you're so right. She would be she would be Breathless Mahoney for sure.
Yes, Breathless Mahoney.
Do you know who loves Madonna? Dolores.
Who? Oh, I see. Oh,
I've had extensive conversation with Dolores specifically about Madonna.
I could totally see off her like driving record. Down to the shore, yes. listening to like Holiday.
She loved her. It's true.
Love Dolores. Margaret's coming on the podcast soon.
Oh, awesome.
Love her. Love Margaret.
What did you think of the New Jersey premiere?
Wait, real quick, before we get into that, because we're going to talk, I wanted to get the Page Six story, though.
Okay.
So Page Six reported that Teresa Giudice invented the rumor that her castmate's husband had cheated because she's terrified that she'll be fired if she doesn't come up with some grade A drama for the Bravo show. Quote, she's being watched by the network and needed a story to stir the pot. She had zero proof that he cheated and made up the story because Bravo has been getting rid of original housewives.
Is it signed? Does it at the end? Does it say XOXO Jackie Goldschneider?
Right. Oh, I'm so sorry. I like. Okay, this is not shade because I love Jackie. I think she's great for the show, but it seems a little bit like that was planted. I'm sorry. Teresa could walk through the season mute, and she would still have a fucking job. She is literally the most powerful OG still standing.
Do you think they ever would do it without her?
They would do it. They've done it now, the way they've angled the show. And she wasn't even given a testimonial for the first episode of this season until the last 30 minutes. They're really trying to, like, wean off of her so much. So in the case that they ever do have to, I think it is, you could have it with Margaret. People love Margaret. People love Dolores. Yeah. She doesn't even really bring that much, but people, like, love Dolores. I love Dolores.
And I feel never lose Dolores. Never get rid of her. She's a perfect...
She's a New Jersey housewife.
Not every character, not every cast member has to be a firework that's going off 24/7. It's good to have the balance. It's good to have a quieter cast member. Like, you got to have somebody that's sort of the conscience or the observer. You know what, it's important.
I would say that about Dolores, but then you think you would say the same thing about Cynthia, but I am actually exhausted watching Cynthia on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I do want her to leave. Like, I like Cynthia so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I would hang out with Cynthia in real life, but I don't want to see her having storylines anymore. I don't think she brings anything anymore. I'm sorry. But Dolores could be going to get drive-thru food the entire fucking season.
It's fascinating.
And I would be like, I want to watch it. I love her. I just love her so much. She's beautiful. I want to see her, like, just raking her leaves, getting plastic surgery, and hanging out with her dogs.
You
want to
see her getting plastic surgery.
I love it. No, I think Teresa, they're never going to get rid of her. I'm sorry. But, I mean, maybe they will someday, but the show will be fine because they've now done it so that like it or not, Jennifer has her own fan base that's growing.
I love Jennifer. I got no
she's good for the
problem
show.
With Jennifer.
I think she's such a good New Jersey housewife. Yeah. I think they all are. I think, you know, for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And Margaret. I think what the thing is like for so long, that show, they let Teresa define what a Real Housewife of New Jersey was. They were like, oh, she's the archetype. You know what I mean? But like now that they've had different types of people on, like they've mixed it up a bit and had like, you know, a lawyer and
she's Turkish.
Jennifer's Turkish. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I almost said Armenian. They have all these different types and they're like, you know,
it doesn't have to be different. An Italian. You know.
It doesn't have to be Italian. Yeah. They don't have to be related to Teresa. And it can all be. Mm-hmm. And we just like let it be defined.
The thing is, if you lose Teresa, and it's an automatic, you're losing a chunk. If you lose Teresa,
Teresa, then you're losing what Melissa's purpose is.
You're losing Melissa and Joe Gorga. You're losing mm-hmm. like a whole family tree. Like you're losing a big yeah. branch of the tree.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. But I think they're going to be okay if that ever happens. But do I think it's going to happen anytime soon? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Do I think she's worried about her job? I think she's probably the least worried of any
For
OG,
sure.
but you know.
Yeah. For sure.
Who knows what goes on in her head? Listen, we've talked. I want to go to the bonus, but real quick, I want to just give them something to tease them because I want to get into Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh,
were you watching?
Okay.
When we were watching the premiere, Danielle Staub was sitting in her home watching the premiere with us on IG Live. Did you see this?
I did see this.
Spiteful, snarling at the screen with a glass of white
wine. Sort of insane. Behavior.
Sort of insane.
Like real psychopath psychopath behavior.
Beverly has to chill out. Beverly, come on.
My favorite thing to come out of this week in sort of Jersey news, my favorite thing I saw was when Dorinda was tweeting in Dorinda's tweet in defense of Teresa. For saying Teresa
got the same agent.
Teresa guidance, like she spelled Judy Che wrong and spelled it guidance. Great mother, hashtag, whatever, like team Teresa. It's because they have the same publicist. And
that's what
Jackie called it out. She's like, no surprise. They have the same.
Is that Jammin? Is Jammin? No, Jammin does the social. Sorry,
he does social. Yeah, he does. He's not a publicist.
Someone told me that most of the time when Teresa Instagrams, 90% of the time, it's Gia or Priscilla
doing her Instagram. Why Priscilla?
Well, they're like best friends.
Priscilla, the hairstylist? The hair and makeup for Watch What Happens Live?
She does the makeup.
And she's doing...
Or does she do both?
No. She does the makeup, but why would she be doing her social media?
Because they're best friends, and I think she's just like... I mean, who knows? I think she's just because they're friends. I don't know.
Wow.
This is what I'm told.
That
I believe
is shocking information to hear Priscilla. I mean, this is real inside baseball, but to hear Priscilla, the hairstylist is. But Priscilla does all. And,
but
does
doesn't
the hair
that make total
for,
sense?
Priscilla does
I
the
feel
hair
like that's how these...
for. Or that she. I'm sorry. Damn it. She does the makeup for every housewife that goes on Watch What Happens Live. She's the mm-hmm. in-house Bravo.
Well, there's
makeup artist.
There's another one too. I forget her name. I think she's black. I forget her name, but really sweet woman. There's another one. They have like rotating, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Shout out Priscilla. She's beautiful.
Love to
she
see
should
it.
Be a Real Housewife of New Jersey.
Priscilla DeSanto, right? DeSanto?
It says Priscilla makeup on Instagram, so I'm always like, yeah. I just know it's Priscilla, queen of makeup. But yeah, we're going to get into Real Housewives of New Jersey. I want to get all into the premiere with you, break down what that means so much. Maybe a little Real Housewives of Atlanta. I just watched it last night.
Sure.
Bolo.
What a dick.
Freak bitches. Freak bitches hanging from the ceiling. Oh my God. You know, like, I just... maybe it's too much. I just, like, see that house. And when they woke up the next morning, I was like, I just felt gross. Like, I'm not sex shaming at all. Because get your fucking Bolo dick. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like... I woke up and they woke up and I saw them walking around in the broad daylight. I was like, I feel like everything in that house is covered in like grease and lube from or his like body oil. Like he's like, wasn't he covered in like, you know how like strippers
yeah, oil,
use like
this? Yes, it's oil.
Oils.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like the doorknobs would be slippery and shit. I'm just like, God. Oh my God. And there was sandwiches sitting half eaten, empty cups everywhere. I was like, this is so gross. You know? It felt gross, but I loved it.
You loved it.
tell the people where to follow you on social media. Tell them about your podcast. Any other pertinent information?
Sure. So my show is called Hot Takes and Deep Dives. And it's, I would say it's like a healthy 70% Bravo-ish, like psychoanalysis, yada, yada. And then the other 30%, I've done interviews with Rachel Dratch. I did with Gina Gershon from Showgirls. That okay. came out this week. Lots of interesting, cool people. Margaret Cho. And that's that. So that's Hot Takes and Deep Dives. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's JessXNYC. I would love to chat with people.
And you guys know where... Oh, you hear this?
Oh, like, he's pouring some beautiful red wine. What type of... What red is that?
It's Twist Off. It's called Art of the Earth.
Ooh.
I love a Twist Off.
Wait, you switched from white to red?
I did because I ran out of white. Mm. Is that bad?
I don't know. I never switched from one to the other mid.
Oh, I mid, have. Mid, you haven't
mid,
lived.
Mid hour.
You haven't lived. You haven't lived. is it closed? Okay. You guys know where to follow me on social media. It's Pet Shop Boy. I'm the_PetShopBoy on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe to The Recap. It's the weekly recap with myself and Tracy Morrissey. We cover Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's getting good. And, Real Housewives of Dallas, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and yeah.
God bless.
Go to Real the Patreon.
Of Dallas.
I know. Jesus. Go to patreon.com/theBlist to subscribe so that you can hear the bonus episode. We are going to get into Bolo the Stripper. I want to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills a little bit because it's annoying. things that are annoying me about it. And Real Housewives of New Jersey. Awesome. And yeah, you guys can subscribe there so you can get the bonus episode.
Thanks, guys.
And yeah, thanks. Bye.
Bye.